Hello everyone, welcome to Adoption Adventures. I'd like to open with an apology slash explanation. The more avid fans would notice that there was an episode missing from last week. This was for a collective of reasons. Firstly, the day that I normally record the episodes, I was doing some training and then I was chatting to some new prospective adopters, and essentially the night just got the better of me. And the following day I was working and just again came home exhausted. So before I knew it, time was ticking on. In addition to that, I found that I and Dad and indeed Little Dude were all just a little bit fed up last week. And I found myself kind of needing to just take a little bit of a step back and just a step into just being with the family and being just with me and being okay. So I kind of put things on hold to just realign the stars, as it were. we're all doing a lot better now, and everything's fine, and everything was fine. We were just all feeling a little bit just overwhelmed last week and just needed to have a little bit of time together. This week's episode, I'm fearful will come across as a rant, but through the conversations that I've had recently, it's actually sort of propelled me to think of this and to talk about it. So I've had a couple of conversations with some people of late about their adoption journey, or indeed their journey to being parents. And we talk about this sort of cultural pressure to become a parent and to have a family. There's almost this sort of stigma attached to you if you don't have children. And we talked in our last episode about our children's stories and how we need to protect them and things like that. But actually there's a deeper part to that as well, in as much as we've got to protect our own stories. And when we're protecting our kids' stories, and you know, you get random strangers coming up and just wanting to talk about your child and their past, naturally we kind of get very defensive and we want to do what we can to protect them. What we don't give credit for is the amount of times that happens to us as adults. So I'm going to make a sweeping statement here. It's a generalized statement. It's not a one size fits all one. But you tend to find in heterosexual relationships that as soon as you get together, all you're ever hearing is, when are you going to get engaged? When are you getting engaged? When are you getting engaged? As soon as you're engaged, your next thing you hear is, when are you getting married? When are you getting married? When are you getting married? Then you get married, and literally on the day of your wedding, you then have your nearest and dearest with you, who you've paid for them all to have a very good meal. And the amount of people that will come up to you on your wedding day and say, oh, married now, when are you having kids? When are you having kids? When are you having kids? And then if you have one, they'll say, when are you having a second? When are you having a second? When are you having a second? Now, like I say, I'm generalising when I say that's heterosexual relationships. The reason I'm generalising is, for me, in a same-sex relationship, I didn't feel the same level of pressure from my sort of friends and family and wider community of, when are you going to get married? Because when we were first together, that wasn't even legal. So that wasn't a pressure. Then when we did get married, the concept that we could have children, even though my parents were aware that it was a path that we were considering, it wasn't something that we were talking about on a grand scheme of things. And adoption wasn't on people's minds, and it wasn't a thought about topic. So we were asked it from time to time, but not in a big way. So that's why I'm generalizing and saying it's the stigma is more attached here in my experience to heterosexual relationships. It may have changed sort of lately, because obviously the world has moved and progressed so much further than when Dad and I were going through that. But that stigma is still there, that stigma of when are you having children? The question of almost, it could almost be a question of when are you going to tick the box and become, you know, a real human. And when I got together last week with a group of prospective adopters, we did an exercise and we started getting into the conversation about adoption, what it means to you, some of the thoughts and feelings and emotions that that brings up. And one word that came up from people was the word anger. They talked about how they would look at certain families and see that their family were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they would be angry because they couldn't even have one, and there's this other person who's having several. And there's an anger there. And I was talking to a friend of mine. She was talking about sort of her own journey and her own journey to being a potential parent. And we were exchanging this conversation about sort of the anger that is there. And she was saying that she understands that anger and she feels that frustration as well. Because it's something that she has thought herself. And it then led us into starting to discuss how people come into the process. And I explained how the majority of people coming into the adoption process are comfortable admitting that adoption was not their first option. That comment is in by no way or no means a negative comment. I completely understand for other people that adoption is not necessarily your first choice. I do. I can empathise with that. So when I started talking about this, I said that there was a particular couple that were on this training and they had announced that it was actually their first choice. They weren't even considering the option of birth children. They had adoption in their past, and it was just the option that they'd always decided. And my friend would say, "Oh, you know, that's really, really lovely." And I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "But here's the crazy thing." I said, "Out of the whole group, they're the minority, and actually they're the ones that it's likely that social services would say, I have some concerns." Not because there's anything wrong with that, but there'd be sort of social services would kind of be sitting there going, are we going to take your application so far forward and then all of a sudden you fall pregnant and there you're going to withdraw? So have you really considered this, and what are the ramifications for this decision? And my friend and I were talking about this, and it sort of threw us into this conversation about, is adoption your first choice? And if not, why not? And over the course of the years, my experience, I've spoken to people who are friends of mine, people that are well-intentioned, have good intentions, but people who have said to even me, I've spoken to people and said, "Oh, you know, I understand you're trying for a baby. Is adoption not something you'd consider?" And I've heard people respond, even this is after we'd adopted little dude, and people have responded and say, "I don't think I could do it because I would want one of my own." Now, when I mentioned this to my friend, she was outraged on my behalf and saying, "You know, but little dude is your own." And I said, "Yeah, that I know that." And indeed, that friend at the time knew that. But again, it comes down to this sort of stigma. And I think that there's this pressure upon both men and women, there's a pressure on men to go back to our cavemen lineage and do all that we can to produce spawn. And if a man is deemed that he can't do it, does it mean that he's not really a man? Now, me in my position, I kind of look at that and think that is a complete and utter bunch of nonsense. But in the same breath, I can almost understand it. I can almost understand how that could attack a man's sort of sense of identity. And then you look at a woman. You know, again, you're going back to the caveman era of it was her duty to bear children. And if she's unable to bear children, does it mean that she's not really a woman? And I think that this mass stigma surrounds parenting. And there is this huge pressure for everyone to procreate. And there are some people that procreate that you kind of look at and think, I don't know why you did that. I don't think that you actually wanted to be a parent. I think you just sort of submitted to what society said you should have done. You look at other people who are struggling to conceive and they get really upset and they blame themselves and they get in their heads that they've done something wrong and they apply so much pressure to themselves and believe themselves to be lesser humans because they aren't able to procreate. And I find that really, really sad. But I think that there's this wider problem because it doesn't just stop there. I was talking to my friend and she's been married for... she's been together with her partner for over 10 years. And they don't have children. It's been something that they've talked about on and off and considered on and off. And we talked about how it doesn't just stop within the home. It doesn't matter where you go. If you start engaging in a level of conversation with someone, they insist on bringing up about children. And, you know, she said that she could go to a new sort of work meeting and meet a whole bunch of new people. And it would not be uncommon in that environment for at least three people to say, oh, so what's your situation? Are you married? Yeah, yeah. How about kids? And the question in itself is not an offensive question. Of course it's not. But actually for some people that could be a really difficult subject. It could be a really difficult sort of line of inquiry. And I said as well, what happens if people actually don't like children? Because those people exist and, you know, they're out there. It's socially unacceptable to say that you're not a fan of children. You've got to do the ooh-ah noises. But can you imagine if you said to someone at a party, hey, got any kids? And they said, no, can't stand them. I hate children. I need to be as far away from them as possible. I think that would be a conversation stopper right there. But they're only answering honestly. But it's almost like in society, that's a way that we measure people. Do you have children? Why? Why does that matter? And if my answer is no, the following question is, oh, are you going to have them? And it's usually coupled with that sympathetic head tilt of, oh, don't worry, you can have them. Let me pat you on the head whilst I just nurture you and make sure that you know that you are able to do this. And I think it takes an awful lot of strength and confidence from, it's the generalised statement, but I think it's more females that are sort of approached about having children. It's not only, but I just feel that they're asked the question more often. And I think it takes an awful lot of confidence from a woman to be able to say, no, I don't, but I'm not going to be talking about that. Because some of that could be really painful. I've met couples that have gone through so many rounds of IVF, and each time that breaks them a little bit more. And then innocently at a party or at the hairdressers or in the supermarket, someone is saying, oh, how are you doing? Have you got children? Are you going to be having children? And every single time that that question is asked, it's bringing up so much pain. So I think that we as society need to work a little bit harder at realising that that's not actually a line of questioning that we need to go through. We need to allow people to just approach us with that topic. As I'm saying that, I'm confident that a lot of the people listening right now would have had some of these awkward conversations, so would be paying this forward anyway. But then when you look at the subject of sort of would you adopt, and the stigma around adoption in itself. Now, over the years, I've witnessed how the world of adoption has become so much more open and so much more positive, and you're hearing so many more stories about it, which is so, so great. But it's taking time, and it's taking time to change that and sort of get us on the right tracks. Which means it's taking time for people to realise that adoption is just as viable an option. But again, there's the challenge of it coming back as a stigma. And I think sometimes, this is going to be a dangerous line. I think sometimes it's the men that struggle with this more. See, there it is. I've dropped the grenade. Run. I think men have this. Again, I'm making these general sweeping statements. It's not specific. But I think men have this sort of anxiety that they need to be able to procreate. And if they can't, is it affecting their manhood? Which is really, really sad. Because, again, I don't see it that way. But I've heard that said many a time. I've heard men say that they don't think that they could do it because it's not their own. And when I mentioned this and was talking to my friend about this, she said, you know, she raised a really interesting point. She said, men who join a family and have no children, but they join a family and they become the stepdad, they are celebrated. They're celebrated for taking on another family's children and loving them as if they were their own. And that is seen as a beautiful, beautiful thing. So why not be able to see adoption in the same way? I thought, do you know what, this is an exact example of how society is changing, but it's just taken a little bit too long. And for me, I knew by the age of 19 that I wanted to adopt. My friend who I interviewed many episodes ago, it was her that sort of pushed me down that road and said, you know, this is the option to you. Now, at that point, we had, not at that point, not at 19, but when Dad and I were starting to talk about having a family, we had a number of people come forward and offer to be surrogate parents for us, which was beautiful. But Dad and I both agreed that what we wanted to do was we wanted to give a home to a child who was already out there. My thought process was, if I want children that badly, why not take one on that's already in existence, that is already a life? Now, that is not to say that anyone who has a different view is doing it wrong, because that's not fair and that's not right. But that was how we approached it. And I kind of wish that more people would approach it in that way. A thought process I had, and this is me in a utopian world, there are no logistics to my political plan here. But I said, wouldn't it be lovely that if you could have one biological child, but then chose you wanted to have a second, what you'd have to do is, for the second, you'd have to go through the adoption process. I said, you know, the numbers of children that are waiting far outweigh the number of parents that are waiting. And we need to change that. So if you change it to a policy level like that, like I say, we all know that that's not going to happen. I'm talking about a utopia. But just finding a way to get that message out there that adoption doesn't have to be the last resort. It's okay there is for a lot of people. My friend asked me if that makes me angry that people admit that adoption is their last resort. It doesn't make me angry at all, because at least they considered it and at least they did it, and they've changed so many lives by adopting only one child. They've changed loads of lives. So I don't care how people arrive at that destination. That does not bother me in the slightest. I get so truly excited that anyone finds themselves at that door. And I understand as well, I understand the desire to procreate, the desire to sort of for a woman to nurture that child and grow that child within you. That must be such a beautiful experience. And I can understand that being a priority or being a wish or a dream. There is nothing wrong with that being option one. And even though you look at surrogacy, IVF, all of these things, that's still, in my opinion, that still constitutes as option one. Because you're just trying to find different ways to give nature a little nudge. So I get it. Do I wish more adopters were coming forward? Of course I do. Do I understand why they're not? Of course I do. But I think, again, for me, the message is out there that it's all about the stigmas, it's all about the messages, and it's all about working hard to get that message out there and promote the message and say, actually, we're excited about this. I get excited about the journey of adoption. I get excited when I talk to adopters. I get excited about our own experiences. And I wish upon all of the opportunities I have that more people would do it, because the experience is like no other. But I found it interesting talking to my friend, it's really weird. This week I've spoken to quite a few people that have talked about challenges that they've faced when it comes to sort of being questioned about their sort of family and where it's at. And it made me realise that we've all got to play our part at changing a whole host of stigmas and changing the whole narrative. And I think about owning that as well, owning that frustration, owning that anger, owning that prejudgment. I know I do it. I will sort of before being a parent, I would walk in a busy environment and I would see a parent either parenting or not parenting a child, and I'd walk past, I'd be judging, I'd be saying, oh, I wouldn't do it like that. No, that's just not the way, is it? You wait till I'm a parent, it's all going to be different. And I'm confident that there has been many a person who has walked past me and judged me for how I am parenting, or indeed not parenting, little dude. We are a world of judgmental people, for the good or for the bad. But I think my view is we need to give ourselves a break. I mean, I know that I've said that so many times recently, but we need to allow ourselves to understand that, do you know what, if adoption wasn't your first option, that's okay. But now that you are on that road, now that you are considering it, perhaps start spreading that word. When would you start talking to your friends and family about, we're trying for a baby? That's when Dad and I started spreading our word At that stage is when we started to tell people. When we went to the information evening, we're looking into ways to become a family. Because you could end up talking to someone who might be in the same boat as you, or might need just that little bit of a push to realise that that's an alternative and that is an option. So I think that it's our responsibility, it's our duty to just spread that word far and wide, talk about it, celebrate it, get excited about it, and share the news as if you were having a baby. Get that message out there that actually the stigma needs to change to the message of positivity and wonderful. Now, inevitably, I must forewarn you here. I found that when I started talking to people about the fact that we were adopting, you get an awful lot of people saying, "Ah, isn't that sweet? Aren't you doing a nice thing? Oh, that's very kind. Oh, that's nice." And it comes across as very patronising. It's not actually meant as patronising. It's a kind message, but it comes across as quite patronising. You then start getting people questioning about the sort of backgrounds that these children come from, and, "Oh, I don't know if I could do that." Again, I think it's our job and it's our duty to bat that back and back it up with a bit of support and saying, "Well, do you know what? With the right level of love, care and affection, we can make a difference. And we need more people to do the same." So that's my two pennies worth. Let's change the stigma. Let's change the message. Let's spread the message of success. Let's spread the message of happiness. And say, "Actually, do you know what? I'm making a difference and I feel great." And who knows? It could be a few years down the line that adoption becomes an option for people that weren't even thinking about it. It could be that down the line, adoption becomes people's first choice. Who knows? But I think we've all got to play our part. So that's what I'm always hoping to do. Again, apologies for not bringing you an episode last week. We are now back to our regularly scheduled show. I will be back with you next week. I've been contemplating. There's a part of Little Dude's story that I've been contemplating talking about. It's nothing about sort of the deep and dark crevices of his story, but there's something in his past that is now a part of our future, which I found really quite nice. So I'm contemplating sharing it with you. So stay tuned. It might be next week's episode. Who knows? But as always, thank you so much for listening, for your support. Keep spreading that word. Keep positive. Keep your chins up and keep excited. Those of you that are thinking about it, it's wonderful. Those of you that are slowly but surely getting your way through the process, hang on in there. Those of you that have gone through the process, you're waiting for a child, really hang on in there. Those of you that have had children placed, relax. You're doing good. You're doing a great job. And it might be really tough at the moment, but you're doing a fantastic job. I don't know you, but I do know that you're doing a great job. So all of you listening, you're amazing. And just remember just how amazing you are. Cool. All right. I'll speak to you next week. Sending love and hugs to you all. See you later.